Good morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Legos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines. It is a rainy day in Trevose. It is. And Kathy Houston, editor of Vanishes Magazine, is here. And you cannot wake up. How many cups of coffee have you had?
I had two, but it was way too long ago. I need more.
All right. poor Kathy. We have a special guest in the house, Ed Kohler. Ed, you've recently been promoted. What do they call you now?
Special Ed.
They still call him Ed.
Just call me for dinner. That's all.
Call you for it. So you are officially.
I am the associate publisher for the magazines and catalogs.
All right. Well, we are happy to have you.
Well,
welcome.
Thank you. Thank
to
you for
ASI
having me. Thank
studios.
You.
Michelle Bell, Supply Global Resource Editor, is here. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning.
And Andy Cohn,
yeah.
a.k.a. Captain Killjoy, is laughing.
Yeah, so that's interesting. I'm laughing at Kathy.
All right. And, of course, everyone's favorite managing editor, Joe Haley, is here this morning. Good morning, Joe.
Hi, Melinda.
Manning the tech booth with the wonderful sound effects is Craig Veltri. And Vinnie Driscoll, of course, will be answering your calls at 215-953-4979.
Well, Vinnie's big thumb just went in front of the camera.
Interesting.
Nobody be alarmed.
We're taking your calls today on any topic. However, if you're having problems with inventory or have questions about how to get your orders filled on time, certainly call us 215-953-4979. Joe, if we put you on the air, what are we going to give you today?
$25 Visa gift card.
Who could Woo-hoo! Use a $25 Visa gift card? Wow, Ed just let out a woohoo.
I could.
Oh, my wife's listening. She better call.
Oh, wow.
Family members are exempt.
Friends and family don't count.
Ed's wife, give us a call, 215-953-4979. Joe, what else is on tap for today's show?
Well, for the first time ever, we are going to hear calls placed to the Holla Back line to find out what our listeners think of the show.
Joe trying to say Holla Back
line.
It's like my grandpa.
Call back at you. Anyway.
Michelle, explain the Holla Back line.
The Holla Back line is our new 24/7 phone line where people can call and leave us messages and comments, complaints, compliments. We take it all here at ASI.
Oh,
Radio.
There it is. We do.
And you can call at any time at what? What's the number?
215-953-4977 is our Holla Back line, and we will perhaps play snippets of comments on the radio, and people can leave an anonymous message, they can leave their name. We're happy to get any comments whatsoever.
So if you have the urge to, you know, prank call anybody, just do it for us.
Call our Holla Back line. All right, go ahead, Joe.
All right, also, how do you keep those reusable grocery bags bacteria-free? Well, Kathy had some tips, and that's going to be good information for distributors to use to give to their clients to say, look, when you're giving these out, give the tips to the end user. Mm-hmm. Italy has banned plastic water bottles. I can't believe it, but Andy's going to give us a story on that. Michelle has tips for small business growth through exporting. We're also going to look at what we learned from a Ryder Cup faux pas. We also have our favorite things, another new segment here at the radio show where four editors will talk about their favorite product of the week. We have some other things on the agenda as well, but first we'll start with the industry news and Andy Cohn.
All right, thank you, Joe. We begin this morning with bad news for one counselor, top 40 distributor. Workflow One filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy last week, saying it is burdened by bank and lender debt that it was unsuccessful at restructuring. While the company has said it is operating business as usual during the bankruptcy process, it also is saddled with debt of more than $100 million. Product safety news now. The state of California has passed a law that greatly restricts the amount of cadmium allowable in children's jewelry. California is the fourth state this year, following Connecticut, Illinois, and Minnesota, to pass a law that restricts cadmium. In supplier acquisition news, Ennis has acquired certain assets of Atlas Tag and Label. Financial details of the deal, which closed on September 30th, were not revealed. The majority of Atlas's employees will be transferred to Ennis. Peter Ilaria, the founder of supplier firm Tropar Manufacturing, has passed away due to complications from diabetes. He was 79. Donations in his name can be made to the American Diabetes Association. Plus, make sure to check out the latest episode of the Joe Show and Promogram today. Joe, I understand you have your guard up in today's edition. Is that right?
That's right, Andy. We're looking at safety products.
All right.
That's trying to teach you a lesson or two.
I need those lessons.
All right. Thanks very much, Andy. So I guess we have some Holla Back messages people have left during the week. Is that right?
I believe we do.
Well, let's hear them, Craig.
Hey, radio folks. I've been in the industry for about 8 years. Really love your show, but I'm wondering if Joe could cover some more product ideas each week. That would be great. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
I mean, we have to hear from
there
Joe.
You have it.
Hello, ASI Radio. My name is Susan, and I just wanted to say that my favorite part of the show, I listen every week, and I love the other call-in questions. I feel like you guys provide some great advice for callers, and I look forward to that every week.
All right.
Well, that's great.
All right. Well, thanks to those two callers. Joe, are you going to give us more product stuff? I think we have a new segment featuring fun product things. But in a little while, you guys are all going to show your favorite products of the week.
Whatever they want. Whatever the listeners want.
All right. Well, continue to call us on our Holla Back line.
Everybody loves Joe and his products.
And to address the other caller's message, we do have some callers today. We're going to start with line two with Bruce. We're asking people to call in about inventory issues they may be having. Good morning, Bruce.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I do have a question about inventory shortages. You know, as a distributor, they've been a real problem for me this year. I'm wondering when you guys think the shortages will be over, and in the meantime, how do I get my orders filled, and are there types of products maybe that are more available right now than others?
All right, Michelle, I know Supplier Global Resource did a huge issue. First, maybe explain to callers why distributors are seeing inventory problems right now.
Sure. There are a couple issues going on in Asia right now where when the economy headed south, a lot of factories closed. So number one, there's a factory shortage. Number two, there's a labor shortage because
in China.
And there's a product safety issue also comes into play. Basically, the factories are able to be more selective about the orders they're able to fill. Consequently, the suppliers here, their orders are backing up in the factories over in Asia. Also, there's a problem with the products being shipped on the freight liners coming here to the U.S. So it's kind of a multi-tiered problem.
And suppliers in the past year maybe have not carried as much inventory to those who warehouse, correct?
That's the other thing, yes, because of the economy here. I would say, first, what makes the most sense is to look at suppliers who manufacture products in the U.S., who manufacture domestically. That's your best chance to have products available quickly and immediately. One thing you could do, because of course the majority of suppliers do import from overseas, is talk to them. A lot of them have the option on their website where they have real-time inventory. You can check and see what, you know, what's in stock. But double up when you're ordering. If you know you have a client who orders the same thing every year, maybe push them to order a little bit more so you have some in reserve. Also work really closely with the supplier. They have more, you know, sense and more idea of, you know, what the status is of their inventory than, you know, than anyone else.
Should I be telling my customers and being just blunt with them about this, or is it better just to do my best and hope it works out? I mean, maybe it's a ridiculous question, but do you have to be upfront with this the way the problem is right now?
Well, I wouldn't promise things until you talk to a supplier, right, in terms of
absolutely.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't promise availability. Like Michelle said, I would be speaking to suppliers as much as possible to check the availability of products. So in dealing with your clients, I would say you don't want to alarm them and say that, you know, you don't have the inventory, but I would try to push them into product categories that maybe, you know, suppliers are going to have. You know, I mean, the big suppliers are going to have pens on hand. Do they have the exact pen that maybe they're looking for? Maybe not. You want to try to work with them to find solutions, not necessarily saying that, you know, I wouldn't put the warning sign out there necessarily is what I'm trying to say.
But I would think that the sooner a client plans ahead on a promotion, the better chance they have of getting the items. So if you're working way out, you know, with someone on an event or something,
that's the best way to cover yourself and your client's needs is to build in extra lead time at this point. Also, I would really say, I mean, back in the day, there weren't that many suppliers in the industry who manufactured domestically. There's more of them now. Mm-hmm. So that really is a viable option.
Yep. Well, good luck, Bruce, and stay on the line for your $25 Visa card.
Thank you.
Thanks. On line one, we have Janice. Good morning, Janice.
Hi, good morning, everyone.
Hi, what's your question?
Mine is kind of like Bruce's, and I did hear a lot of what Michelle had to say. I've been in the industry for 5 years, and I really have never had a harder time getting my orders filled on time and with complete shipments as I have lately. I mean, I heard what's going on. What else can I do about it, and can we expect it to turn around anytime soon?
Yes. The answer,
good.
It'll get better. I think that as inventories kind of replenish them, suppliers are able to replenish their inventories, it will get better. It will loosen up. In the short term, I would say the best thing to do is work with the suppliers. A lot of them have contingency plans in place to fill their inventory requirements. Again, look for domestically made products. Joe?
Oh, I was going to say keep in contact with your clients as well. you know, make sure that they're looking ahead. Don't wait to the last minute to try and fill holiday orders. Get them thinking about it right now.
It's not that they can't fill the orders. It's just going to take a little bit more time.
Right.
It's not that they're not going to be filled in perpetuity. It's just that they need more time to do it. So I think that that's the best course of action is to just build it, like pad in more lead time.
Although I would say in this situation, if you're actually having trouble filling orders on time, then that's a supplier communication issue. If they've signed on to your time frame and they're aware of it, then that's something you need to be talking to them about and, you know, looking for sort of solutions to. You know, maybe you need to be tracking orders a little closer throughout the process, talking to suppliers throughout it, the order fulfillment process, and making sure that they have what they said that they're going to have. But if they're not actually coming through on orders that they signed off on, then you really need to talk to them or maybe find different suppliers.
Well, good luck, Janice, and stay on the line for your Visa gift card. If any suppliers want to weigh in on this topic or have advice for these distributors, call us at 215-953-4979 or leave a message on our Holla Back line. We're going to pause now for a message from today's show sponsor, I Promote You, when we return. Kathy's going to tell us how to keep your bags bacteria-free. I can't wait for that segment. It's interesting.
This portion of ASI Radio is sponsored by iPromoteU. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with iPromoteU today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. iPromoteU, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-850-3370 or email opportunities at iPromoteU.com.
We are back with ASI's Tuesday morning show, and reusable bags are very popular in the industry, aren't they, Ed?
Of course.
You got a lot of suppliers selling those these days.
It's a very hot topic.
All right. Well, speaking of that, though, we want to keep our bags bacteria-free, don't we,
That's
Kathy?
That's right. Here's another hot topic. Do any of you ever wash your reusable grocery bags? I don't even have any, but...
Andy?
No, we've never washed ours.
I bet people don't think about that, actually.
They don't. And here's a little... Oh,
she says my question is, how would you do that?
Apparently, they
put
don't.
It in the
She's
washing
gonna
machine?
She's going to give us some tips.
You know what? They're a disgusting breeding ground for bacteria, turns
okay,
out.
Okay, there it is. Don't hold back.
This news reporter in Denver conducted a test with the doctor, and they found disgusting bacteria at the bottom of the bags, talking in the million range of bacteria that causes diarrhea, vomiting, all that kind of fun stuff. I mean, like, really disgusting. And not only that, but they used a glow germ light, and people that brought the groceries home in these bags had the germs stuck to their hands, their kitchen counters, their refrigerators. They were everywhere. But fortunately, it's easy to fix.
Oh, how?
And this distributors, you should, like, inform your clients or, like, even provide little tip cards, too, that go with the grocery bags. It's really easy. Just wash them with bleach. Or just wash them out after each use.
Yeah, wash them in the washing machine?
Wash them in the washing machine or just wipe them down with bleach after each use. That kills the bacteria. And another suggestion is to designate one bag for each type of food to prevent the germs from spreading from food to food.
Can I just say that I think this is malarkey?
Well, Melinda, this is going to be our website, and everyone can check it out.
Malarkey? No, I know that's a really bad word.
That's
old-fashioned
that
word.
That word is
I think
malarkey.
That's the bacteria they found.
No, I'm with her.
But let me just tell you this. They always have these shows on, like, Dateline where they'll go into your kitchen and use those glow lights, and they find bacteria everywhere. So I think that bacteria is not just in the bags. It's everywhere.
Right.
And you know what? It's a little bacteria is good because it helps you prevent, you know, it helps build your immune system.
Well,
so
you know
I
what?
Say... Keep that bacteria.
Excuse me.
I'm gonna start selling glow lights.
That's a good idea. Sell glow lights with the bags.
I just think there's bacteria everywhere. If you did that same test in, you know, in your bedroom or in your, well, maybe
well,
not your bedroom.
Let's not go there.
Okay.
Anywhere.
Let's not do the test.
You're gonna find it. Maybe
bedroom.
You're gonna find it. I'm not saying, you know, you shouldn't wipe out the bags.
I'm on Melinda's side because where's this bacteria coming from in the first place?
It's coming from the fruits and vegetables and meats that
well,
are
Well, then
in
why
the
wouldn't it be on your hands when you come home? Why wouldn't
well,
it be
you
on
your hands? Wash your hands, though.
You wash your
so
hands.
So even if you use
I haven't washed my hands in
if
three
you
weeks.
Use plastic bags, you're still going to get it on your hands because it's on the stuff.
And then it goes on your countertop.
But you don't
do you wipe
the
down
bag.
Your But
you
do you wipe down your
plastic.
Countertop
listen,
immediately after
listen,
using
Listen, I'm not the doctor or
it's
the
bunk.
Investigative reporter that did this. And when you two start getting terrible diarrhea after the food store, don't come to me.
All right, we're going
to
put this on our website. ASI.com/radio, and you can decide for yourself what you think about this. On our previous topic, inventory, we have a caller. Bob is on line one. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Fine. Good. How are you doing, Bob?
Terrific. I love your show.
Thank you.
Thank you. We love you, Bob.
Bob's one of our repeat callers.
I think the sensical thing to do is probably one of your last comments is you really have to follow up with your vendor. I got caught once by not checking before I made a larger pen order. And ever since then, as I'm going through the closing process, I just make darn sure that, the inventory is stocked in depth and we're covered. And I have to say that the vendors I've been working with, the five-star ones, of course, have been just terrific. And I haven't had any stock-out issues or delays.
That's great.
So I think that if you give the vendors a chance and you actually talk to them, they move heaven and earth for us as distributors, and they're your best ally.
Well, that's great advice, Bob. And certainly the star rating does make a difference. And, you can see just by going to ESP, what kind of rating suppliers get. You certainly want to stick with the 4 and 5 stars, right? All right. Thanks for calling, Bob. Stay on the line for your Visa gift card.
Thanks.
All right. We just got an email. This is interesting. This is on Kathy's little segment, which apparently is stirring up a lot of trouble. It says, you cannot wash the laminated bags. My client told me yesterday that they disintegrate in the washing machine. Kathy.
Oh.
Well, that's
no,
why.
No, I would not do the laminated. I wouldn't
there,
do
there's,
the laminated
there's a
ones.
Few. There's laminates and there's the non-woven polypropylene.
The canvas. Right. They could get washed. But the laminates, wash them with bleach.
You can just
wipe them down.
Bleach.
Right.
They need a wipe down. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you, Dawn, for that valuable tip. And
yes,
like
thank
Kathy
you, Dawn.
Said, the manufacturer, the supplier, likely provides care instructions for all these
that's
items.
Right.
So that's something
right.
distributors can share with
Unless, clients. Of course, you're inclined just not to wipe it down and deal with the bacteria.
That's right.
Right. Like Joe and I. We're just going to deal with it.
Excuse me. I go vomit now.
Who here's been to Italy? Anybody?
Nope. No.
Oh, Michelle's been to Italy. Well, apparently,
Michelle's our transcontinental.
Next time you go, you'll be surprised to find that they've banned plastic water bottles. Andy, why is that?
It's actually not the whole country of Italy, but it is the Heritage Coastline, which is a national park and beach area. And they are concerned about garbage, essentially. They say that they have tourists to that area discard 2 million plastic bottles a year in that area, and $400,000 alone in August when there's more tourists to the area. So they've put their foot down and waged war against plastic bottles, and there will be no more plastic bottles in that whole area of Italy. And instead, they're asking people to pay €1, which is about $1.35 right now, for a reusable metal flask, which is actually imprinted with the National Park logo. And they're now putting in new water fountains, which, check this out, they have water that's regular still water coming out of the water fountains.
Don't tell me they have water with bubbles.
And they have sparkling water coming out of the water fountains.
That's
how cool is Italy?
That's
I mean, what
awesome.
Are we doing
Love
here?
Swanky.
I mean, it's
Are
insane.
They next to each other, like labeled? You
yeah.
can pick bubbles or no bubbles?
Yes, they're right next to each other. You could pick still or sparkling.
Or with gas, they call it in
yeah.
Europe.
With gas, so there you go. And you could refill up your reusable metal flask, and some Italian distributor is pretty happy with that deal, I'd say.
I like
sure.
it.
Yeah. I would want to see some glow lights out there, too.
Oh, Ed is all over the glow lights today, finding all sorts of uses for glow lights.
All right. Well, thanks for that, Andy. Michelle.
Yes.
How can small businesses grow through exporting?
Well, right now there's about 280,000, just over 1% of U.S. small businesses currently export. And of those, 59% export to just one country. Joseph Hurd from the Department of Commerce says he thinks small businesses can do more. With nearly 96% of the world's population and 2/3 of the purchasing power outside the U.S., Hurd and other government officials want small and mid-sized businesses to think beyond U.S. borders. Now is the time to do it because of the economy and the value of the dollar. And there are places that you can go to within the U.S. government that can help and give tips and assistance and kind of give you a personal guide to take you through the terrain and, kind of handhold a business and what they should do and what areas they should focus on, depending on what types of products they want to sell.
That's great. It's funny. We have an article that's going to come out in the next issue of Wearables Magazine interviewing two apparel companies that are U.S. apparel companies that do a lot of exporting to Japan.
because they said the Japanese don't like the quality of the garments coming from China. And a lot of their business comes from that. It's very interesting.
What's advantageous for our industry is that U.S. products are seen as very quality compliant overseas. Right. They're seen as very cool and very hip, so that works well for us. If you want more information, of course, I'll put this information on our website on asicentral.com/radio. But there's information you can go to 1-800-US-TRADE and www.export.gov. Tons of really good information.
All right. Well, we'll have that up on our website. Thanks, Michelle.
Sure.
All right. Now we're going to pause for a very special message with our own Ed Kohler.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I wanted to take a few moments to remind our listeners, both suppliers and distributors, that there's only 26 days left for rate protection. What does this mean? If any supplier or distributor is interested in marketing through any of our 6 award-winning magazines, they need to contact their supplier sales rep by October 31st. As of November 1st, the advertising rates are going up. So if you want to advertise either in Counselor, Stitches, Advantages, Wearables, Successful Promotions, and Supplier Global Resource, make sure you contact your supplier account rep by October 31st.
Wow, there you have it. A special message from our
own Ed Kohler. I think Ed has a voice made for radio.
Rate protection. Yes, you're very loud and
excited. Face made for radio.
That was some good projection there, Ed.
That was. Thank you very much, Ed Kohler.
Thank you.
And Ed, how can people contact you for more information?
If they want to contact me, you can contact me directly, 800-546-1261.
Ed's a loud talker.
Yeah, that's good. All right, thanks, Ed. Okay, well, here comes a new segment we have in which some of our editors are going to show their favorite promotional items of the week. Michelle, let's start with you.
Yes, and I would say that the products are also courtesy of Vinny on our website. Again, you can go to asicentral.com/radio, and you can see Kathy's, mine, Andy's, and Joe's favorite products every week. And mine this week is a blingy pen. I have it with me, Joe.
Blingy. Course, yours has it's to blingy. Do with bling.
It's from a company called Foxyware. And this particular pen, again, it's on our website. It's covered in bling, and it has the breast cancer awareness pink ribbon on it.
Very timely.
Very timely. They also have different styles, of course, that just have accents of bling. I have another one, Andy, pass that down to Joe, for people who want a little less bling.
They're cool.
Like Andy. Andy would do well with this pen.
Yes.
Okay. What are you trying to say?
That's too blingy for Andy.
But again, the company's Foxyware, and we have their information on our website.
I love that. Thanks, Michelle. Andy, what's your favorite thing?
Well, I went with something sweet today, which was a box, not you, Joe. It's a box of truffles from Maple Ridge Farms. You can see it on the website. I don't have it with me, but
because you ate it.
It's all gone, yes. Exactly. I mean, who could wait for that? Actually packaged with 16 truffles, and it comes with a ribbon on the outside that can be imprinted with logos or messages or anything, and it's perfect for the holidays. Now's the time to be calling on your clients for holiday gifts and the things that they give to their employees or to their customers.
Do not wait till December.
Now's
the
time.
Much better service and plenty of time.
And good pricing as well. So
the packaging is beautiful too.
Yeah, it's very nice, and you could see the inside and outside of it on the website right now.
All right, Joe Haley, what's your favorite thing?
Well, this is from Lee's, and it is an iPhone charger. It's great. It's got solar capability, and it also has a USB capability as well. So how it works is
it's not just iPhone. It does other phones, too.
BlackBerry.
Mm-hmm.
It does the BlackBerry and other components that use like a universal USB-type connector. But you charge the unit first from your computer, and then you can charge your cell phone. And once the unit's been charged, you can leave it out in the sun as well. And this unit will charge up, and then when your cell phone or your iPhone needs a charge or your BlackBerry needs a charge, you plug it into this. So it's great for electronics stores, also good for traveling sales reps. I mention them a lot because people don't think about them. What can they use? Well, it's always bad when you leave your charger at home and your phone's about to die. It dies, you're done for the week if you're out there. If you have this little tiny unit, you can always keep it in your briefcase. You always keep it in a piece of luggage, and you always have it with you.
How about soccer moms? Joe, you're out on the soccer field. This would be a great item for you.
That would be good.
If you had a BlackBerry.
You know, what I noticed is that we have...
Bazinga.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Sorry, go ahead.
Joe's now done talking.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt your train of thought. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, most of the time, the soccer moms are on the phone, and the dads are listening to the Eagle games on headphones. So, you know, I don't think you can charge as you're talking.
All right.
Action-packed out there on the soccer field.
Kathy Houston, do you have a favorite thing?
I do. This week, my favorite product is the beer can grill from Bradley Creations.
Did you bring it in here for us?
I didn't, because it's a big, huge grill. It's, you know, over 4 feet tall, but it looks just like a beer can. It's a 12-inch can replica, and Mark Fisher from Heartlake Creations actually came up with this idea, I guess, while he was drinking a can of beer. He looked at the can, and he said, hey, this could be a grill. Anyway, there's storage also for barbecue utensils in it, and the top of the beer can comes off to be a table on the side of the grill. And it's really, really cool.
It's not a fridge, too.
It's not a fridge. No, it's not. Okay. But
Ed Kohler
is
smiling. I think really wants this.
He likes it.
Charcoal or gas?
My favorite product's still that glow light.
All right. Someone be sure to invite Ed back next week.
Ed's like Pavlov's dogs with a glow light.
Hey, speaking of, and Michelle had mentioned with this bling ring.
Yes.
That is, you know, it's timely for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Did anyone notice the football games on Sunday?
Yes. Yeah,
of course.
They have pink cleats even.
Pink accents.
At the Eagles.
And laces.
Hats. Gloves. Mm-hmm. Towels.
They
everything.
Were selling all kinds of stuff at the Eagles game on Sunday.
Yeah. And they're going to auction all the game-used items off and give that money to breast cancer research. So. Mm-hmm.
And they're selling the stuff, too. You could sell it. They're selling it on NFL.com.
They should sell it to Andy Reid so he knows how to use the clock more.
Oh, boy.
It's a national show.
Ryder Cup. Apparently there was a faux pas last week.
Big time faux pas.
Andy, what was it?
Yeah, here's the lesson. You know, find out what your clients intend to do and use the gear that you provide them for. So the team at the Ryder Cup actually had rain gear that didn't keep them dry. So
how does that work?
It just didn't work. They had the pants and outer and top. Basically, the coach was so concerned with embroidering the gear with the logos of the team and the names of each individual player on the back that they didn't take the time to find out if the gear would actually protect them from, say, rain.
So it rained a lot. Water resistant.
No, it rained a lot in Wales last week, and they got really wet, and they had to ditch the gear and buy new gear from the merchandise shop at the golf course.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was bad, and the lesson there is for both distributors and suppliers. Certainly find out what the purpose is that your clients are going to use gear for.
Also, I didn't watch the Ryder Cup, but my husband was remarking on some horrible purple outfits.
There was awful attire choices. The U.S. always has terrible attire choices at the Ryder Cup.
Yes, I
guess purple
was not.
It's like tradition almost. No, it's pathetic.
Okay, well, there you have it. Ryder Cup faux pas. Kathy.
Yes?
Distributors are cold calling every day, and today you have some tips for them to improve their skills, because it's not something that everyone loves to do. Ed, do you like to cold call? You actually probably do.
I hire people for that.
Yes.
You outsource that.
Right. Well, Ed, you can tell us if these tips are good ones.
Ed gets mag lights to do that for him.
Glow lights.
Whatever.
Tell me if these are good, Ed. First of all, you're supposed to set a calling schedule and set a target number of calls per week and schedule time every day to make a portion of these calls. And the best times to call are early or late in the day when potential customers are less busy, more likely
to
answer the
phone. Ed, do you require your salespeople to make a certain number of calls per week, cold calls?
Not a certain number, but quite a few.
Yes.
Quite a few.
Yeah.
Okay. The more balls you get up in the air, more come down in your favor.
That's not where I thought you were going to go with that.
I know. I got nervous.
I was holding on. Like, my God.
I was worried where that was headed. Okay.
Kath, I do agree with the timing, though. And, I mean, we do have some salespeople here that I hear at 5 and 6 o'clock in the evening having great conversations with clients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. Absolutely.
And just setting a schedule, it keeps you disciplined. It keeps you to, making the cold call. So it's good to do. The second thing is to communicate your value right off the bat and start your call by promising brevity and keep your promise, because they don't have a lot of time. You don't have a lot of time.
I hate that when they're like, I'm just going to take a minute, and then
blah, 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 right. But
that's when I hang up on them, actually. Oh,
keep
sorry.
These questions in mind before you cold call anybody. Is your product or service or the service you're offering solving your customers' issues, or is it simply something you want to offer? And have you adequately researched the market to determine there's a real need for what you have to offer? Again, so you're able to communicate your value to the client, to the prospect right off the bat. And then third, you should have a script ready, how to head off objections, practice, role play, come up with objections, every objection in the book, and then have something to combat that. I don't know if you give your salespeople any tips like this.
They're good. I also say, hey, if you can't get to me, go speak to an editor.
You know what? No wonder we get so many silly calls.
All right. Thank you, Kathy, for those great cold calling tips. Michelle,
yes.
What are super fans?
Super fans are clients who espouse how wonderful you are and rave and tell everyone and give great testimonials and just really, really love your product, your services, and are super loyal. So what you want to do is, of course, you want to keep them, but you want to let them know that you appreciate them. So here are some ways you can do that. Host special events. Invite your super fans to open houses for your most loyal customers only, where they can have exclusive access to you, your staff, and your collective expertise. Of course, you know, maybe you'd want to have a special gift bag with ad specialties in there for your special clients, your super fans. Provide extra support access. If your company has a support hotline or a dedicated customer service line, you can offer your super fans, maybe your clients who do a certain amount in sales, your clients who routinely spread, you know, the word about you and your products and your services, that you get business from those referrals. Give them their own dedicated phone line, kind of like Black Card. I mean, American Express Black Card does. They have one line. Actually, Ed and I, because we're preferred members of US Air, we have dedicated phone lines that we can call. So maybe there's one customer service person that, you know, all the calls from the superfans funnel to that person. Last, treat them like VIPs. Naturally, you should treat all your customers like the VIPs, but you definitely want to keep your superfans close to your business. You can do this by sending them special holiday gifts, birthday gifts. While you want to send your clients, certainly, I mean, we always say here, you know, send your clients holiday gifts. Maybe your super fans get extra special holiday gifts, maybe like upper tier incentive items, something like that.
Okay, great ideas. Thanks, Michelle.
Sure.
We have just enough time for Joe to get something off his chest.
Oh, my God.
Joe, give us your rant today, and hopefully it's not about soccer.
CNN, what are you doing? You hired Elliot Spitzer to be a co-host of an evening news show? Come on, really?
Oh,
I don't get
God.
The appeal. Thank you. Does CNN actually think that a huge swath of the country will be tuning in to watch this man?
Did.
Does he have any credibility left, Kathy?
I shut it off after 10 minutes.
Okay, can anyone take this disgraced former governor of New York seriously, or is he merely a sideshow freak waiting to crash and burn, Andy?
Sideshow freak.
Okay. I, for one, think that the real reason behind the move is that since the reigning CNN perv, Larry King, is retiring, they need someone else at the network to fill his seedy little shoes. And for that, Elliot Spitzer fits the bill nicely.
What do you have against Larry King?
Everything, it seems.
All right, we are out of time today. Thanks for listening, and thanks to today's show sponsor. I promote you. Be on the lookout, because in an upcoming show, we're going to feature Michael J. Fox.